That's just about going there now. Okay, Saints, God bless you, everybody, this evening. Sorry about that. We just have to get ourselves in order here. Okay, so shalom, everybody. Everybody is joining us there. You're more than welcome. We are going to be continuing on this evening, if I can share my screen here, on the thought of the school of prayer. So we just really taking these principles of prayer. So today, I did change the title from what I gave to the brothers in the morning, but it's Sweet Hour of Prayer. That's what you wanted to have a look at. We're taking it from the song, The Sweet Hour of Prayer, which is a real, real sweet, sweet song, if anybody knows that song. Yeah, there's something really nice about it. And you can tell the man who wrote the song, I think his name was Warfield. He was a man who really had an experience in prayer. And if we could have the same experience, which we could relate the way that he did in that song, would be a wonderful thing. You know, because when things come from experience, there's something rich and there's something real about them. So our scripture this evening, this was the original title that we were going to use, was The Secret Place and the Father's Face. So we're going to see that. There's two things here that Jesus is teaching us in prayer. Is about the secret place and about the Father's face. And we're going to see these two things are very, very linked. And this is really the simplicity of prayer is in the secret of what Jesus is teaching us here in Matthew chapter 6. Let's just pray before we read the word to ask the Lord's blessing. Father, how we pray for your blessing upon your word upon this evening, that you'd help each and every one of us now to move away from the activity of this day, to come within the veil, Father, to come unto thee with open hearts, to come unto thee with bowed heads, and to seek and pray that you'll admit us into that place, Lord, that mysterious place where you commune and fellowship with the souls of people. For Lord, we need it again this night. We need you every hour, even as the song has said. So bless your people. Please bless our study this evening. Them on YouTube, bless them as well. Anybody that would watch this, may your richest blessings be upon our simple efforts upon this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, saints. So Matthew chapter 6, let's take our scripture again. So Jesus says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So there's a few things about that scripture. Firstly, there's the closet, which we'll see is the secret place. Now, the closet is a portal. The closet is a way for us to get ourselves in the right condition of prayer. And secondly, pray to your Father, which is in secret. Now, so the Lord is in secret. That's why you find many people say, I never find the Lord. I never saw God and things like that. No, I mean, the Bible tells us that he's in secret. I mean, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that is the key to it, that he did pray unto your Father, which is in secret. Now, this was Jesus right at the beginning of the Beatitudes. So here's Jesus. Here he's overlooking the Lake of Galilee, Sea of Galilee, if anybody's ever been there. And he's sitting down and he's teaching his disciples and more people gather and so forth. And it's his first public teaching. We know Jesus' first doctrine was the new birth, John chapter 3, but that was just to Nicodemus. This, the Beatitudes, is now the king. He's coming now to teach the laws, which is the governing principles of the coming kingdom, of the kingdom of heaven. Remember, you were saying the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is among you. John preached the same thing. So now the king has come, and he wants to explain to the people, to us, what are the laws concerning his kingdom, the spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of heaven that's coming down among men? What are these governing principles? And straight away he gets onto the issue of prayer, which is an interesting one. So he's going to teach us the spiritual principles of the kingdom. So he's going to teach us the spiritual principles of prayer, which is an important one. And the very first thing he's going to teach us the importance of the Father's face. He's going to teach us about the fatherhood of God. He's going to remind us of this great principle, because before we can pray, we have to know what you're doing. Who are we praying to? Why are we praying in that way? Why are we praying to him? And in this here, Jesus, when he starts to speak about this, he's going to show us the true attraction, the true drawing power of prayer. Now, prayer has the capacity, it has the potential to become the sweetest thing. You'll find it when you get onto that song, The Sweet Hour of Prayer, to become a real sweet hour of prayer if you know who we're praying to, if you know how to approach him the right way. And then you experience what this man experienced, or you experience what Jesus is speaking about. Because the true attraction of prayer is meeting with God as your Father. That is really what it is all about. When we say the Father's face, you know, when the Lord reveals himself to you, when he shows his face to you, what a blessed, blessed thing it is. This song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, there's the man. He was actually a blind preacher who wrote this. If you read the story of the song, I read it today. It's a very fascinating story, how the song came about. I think his name was Warfield. He was from Warwickshire. And we know this song. We've sung this many, many times in church, but he says, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And he puts an exclamation mark. So it's something which is emphatic, something Sweet Hour of Prayer. He says, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. Now, I think our souls are in a real good condition if we can say amen to that. If you think of prayer and you're saying the joys that I've felt in prayer, the bliss that I've shared in prayer, when my spirit has been anxious and there's been a burning inside of myself, I've longed with strong desire for thy return, sweet hour of prayer. There's something about that. You know, so why does he sing it? Why does he have such a strong desire? He says in the next stanza, he says, with such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. So that is what it is. He's tasted and seen for himself what real prayer is about. He's tasted of the potential of prayer. Now, what's in the closet? Really approaching the Lord. But what is wanting? What his soul is longing for? He wants God to show his face, where God, my Savior, shows his face. He knows that prayer, when I get myself in that place, that sweet hour of prayer, this is the place where the Lord shows his face to me. Now, saints, in the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches us many things. But one of the most blessed things that Jesus teaches us, and that's what he's showing us in the Beatitudes, is that in the closet, we can enter into a place, into our closet, and we can meet our Father there. And there's something about this, about the fatherhood of God. You know, there's a deep inside of us naturally. There's a deep inside of us as people. You know, fallen people that we are, but there's a deep inside of us to experience God's fatherhood, to have a father. And there's really something about that. It's a natural desire as well, but it's a spiritual desire as well. We desire a relationship with our Father. That's such an important thing, whatever you want to call it. You know, we desire our Father to relate to us, our Father to commune with us, our Father to, like that picture there, to embrace us and so forth. And if you think of this, you think of when you were young. You think of what it is as a young child. If you never really had a father, well, the Bible says that God is the father of the fatherless. So you can really experience what fatherhood is about through a relationship with God as your father. But to those who really had a real, real father in the days of your youth, the relationship with the father, what a precious thing it is. Imagine when you're young, like a little child there. You think of what it is. What do you believe when you're young? You just think to yourself, no matter what's going on, if people tease you at school or people say mean things to you, or you know, things take place inside of your life, you think, it'll be okay if I can just get to daddy. You know, and you get on your daddy's lap and he puts his arms around you and No, it just doesn't matter what's taking place out there. It doesn't matter what people have said. It doesn't matter the disappointments that you felt. It doesn't matter how scary the dog was when it barked at you, whatever that it was. You know, when you can just get to Father and you can just, you know, you get to Daddy or you get to Papa, whatever you used to call your dad, and you'd get in when you're really young and you just get in his embrace like that. It was just like when you were in that embrace, everything was well. You know, you just felt it doesn't matter, you know, because when we're young like that, if your doll breaks, or if your toy breaks, no, it's okay, Daddy will fix it. Then you just knew that Daddy will fix it, you know. If you have a question somebody asks you, no, it's okay, no, Daddy's got the answer. Daddy knows everything. Now, when you're young and you have that kind of a relationship, and you think of the peace that you had, you think of, you had no stress in those days. You had no problems, no worries. You don't have to worry about the money. Daddy will take care of it. Daddy's got plenty of money. You know, you didn't have to worry about where the food's going to come from. Daddy can take care of those things. We always have what we need because, you know, Daddy looks after those things. And it's only gradually as we start to grow up, we start to realize, but now Daddy doesn't really know everything, you know. Daddy can't take care of everything. And no, because our earthly fathers are but a shadow of our heavenly Father. But the wonderful thing about the gospel and the new birth is that you come back into a relationship with God as your Father, and He does know all things. And He can, and He does take care of all things. And there's nothing that's too big for Him to fix or too difficult for Him to sort out. There's nothing which is too perplexing that He can't answer. Now, there's no situation inside of your life that you don't understand that He can't make right. If we can just get like a child with our fathers when we were young, or our little children when they come to us when they're young, they're trusting something. And there was just something so reassuring, so comforting. So in your father's embrace, there's protection. Then that place, that like secret place that was just you and your dad. You just shut in with him, nothing else. You know, it doesn't matter about what's taking place out there. There was wisdom, the wisdom that you needed. There was the answer that you needed at that time. There was the advice. There was the direction. Yeah, there was the comfort if you were in tears. There was the, yeah, it's going to be all right. You know what I was like. And you can think back to the days of your childhood when you were young. And just what a special thing it is to have a real relationship with your father. I mean, that's God has put a father inside of your life, put a mother inside of your life, because that's an expression of his attributes. He's trying to reveal himself to us as our father. And there's a deep in us, inside of our souls, naturally and spiritually for this. We long for this relationship with our Father. We really, really do. We long for that. And that's why people now, you know, they try alcohol to calm themselves down, and they get involved in drugs, and people get involved in so many things, into the occult and all these cults and religions and so forth. What are they really seeking? They're seeking a real relationship with the Father. That's what they're seeking for. Someone who can protect, someone who can guide. Someone when the world is too big, or the world is too scary, or the world is too, it's too confusing, that there's a place where they can go. And all of those things can gradually pass away and everything can just be all right once again. Just the way that we felt when we came to our dads when you're young. And if I just get to Daddy, it's just going to be okay. It's going to be okay. When you were there, I mean, if your dad told you that it's okay, I can take you to the moon next week, now you would have believed him. This is something you trusted your dad. Yeah, and genuine fatherhood, that expression to your child, expression to you when you were young. It was such a precious thing. And imagine that is but a shadow of what God offers us, of our relationship with God as our Father. And Jesus is now speaking to us of the principles of the kingdom. And the very first thing that he teaches us is that you can meet your Father, your heavenly Father, in the closet in prayer. You can meet him in that secret place whenever you need to. Yeah, your dad's never going to be at work. Maybe when you were young and you needed something and Daddy was at work and Mommy had to sort of wait for Daddy to come home, and you waited like the song says, with anxious spirits, you know, my heart yearning. Maybe there was something you wanted to ask Daddy. Daddy, please, if you can buy me this, you know, whatever that it is. Or Daddy, can I do this? Can I do that? The other. And then you're waiting for Daddy to come home. But the wonderful thing that this Lord's Prayer teaches us, you know, the Beatitudes when Jesus is speaking to us about prayer is that, you know, God is never our Father. His reality, the attributes of God as a Father are never more than one prayer away. You may be on a sick bed in a hospital and you yourself now can get yourself to a place. If you can just get in the closet, like Jesus is telling us, we'll see what that means. You will experience the attributes of God as your Father. You will. And I mean, every Christian who's on here today has ever prayed and knows what prayer is, knows exactly what I'm speaking about. No, you might be so troubled and so anxious and you don't understand. You feel so disappointed because what people have said or disappointed because of the things you've been through. You may be so in lack or so in need financially or materially, or you don't know, you're perplexed by a certain situation. The answer is all the same. If I can just get to Papa, if I can just get to Daddy. And to us as believers, if my soul can just get in fellowship, just come into his presence again, I know everything's going to be all right. And you know, that's why as Christians, the longer you go as a Christian, the more you depend on this that I'm speaking about. Now, you get so dependent upon him, so dependent upon coming into his presence. And, you know, because people can be mean and people can misunderstand and people can say this and, you know, and people can be rude and, you know, the world can let you down and people can cheat you and people can do you down. And it hurts you and it hurts you in your emotions. But you know, there's a certain place that you can go to. This one that Jesus is pointing us to. He says, when you pray, go into your closet and shut the door and pray unto thy Father, your Father, which is in secret. And this is the most precious thing about prayer. This is what prayer is all about. Everything else is secondary. That this is the basis of prayer. There's two aspects to prayer. There's your closet. There's a place you go to. And secondly, there's a person that you meet, and that is God in his fatherhood. You pray and you meet your Father when you come into the closet. That is a real, real precious thing. And every one of us, is the yearning inside of us testifies of our desire for this settled, real relationship with God as our Father. And that is the stabilizing influence in the life of people. You'll see people that have been admitted into this place, that have come into this place, that have really met God in their souls like that, that know what it is to pray and to come into the presence of God. There's a stability inside of their life. And they're not just hasty to make decisions. They don't just make decisions all the time. They're backtracking and stuff. No, they get caught up in this, or they say the wrong thing here, or they do, and then they go now because they need to speak to Papa again. They need to go because, you know, things don't make sense anymore. And I'm confused. I don't know what all of this means. So you want to get yourself now before Father. You want to get yourself into his presence again, because, you know, when you just allow him to embrace you like that again, it's just all going to be okay again. Yeah, it's just everything's just going to, the world's going to come back to normal again to you. Everything's going to come back into perspective again to you. It's going to be manageable. Yeah, it's just his presence. It's in his embrace. It's him ministering to you, the attributes of God, ministering to us in the secret place. And this is what prayer is about. And this is why Jesus said, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Yeah, I mean, we have to become like children to really end. This is the principles of the kingdom that Jesus has given us, to really benefit from this kingdom of heaven among men, this kingdom of heaven inside of us. We need to become like little children again. And prayer teaches you that. When you come to prayer, every time you pray, you realize you're just a little child. You're coming unto the Ancient of Days. You're coming unto experience and wisdom and power. Now you're coming unto him who knows all things, who has all power. That's who you're approaching in prayer. And he comes, he condescends, he comes down to where you are, that when you come before him with this attitude as a little child, that's, yeah, it's such a wonderful thing. This is the place where you really let off the pressure. This is the place where you really find the peace of God that passes understanding. This is the place where you come and you fellowship and commune with the wisdom of God. You commune with him in that real kind of way. And this is the real approach to prayer. We approach it as a little child. Now, we're not all just big these and thous and big words and, you know, making big speeches and that. That's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is when your soul comes as a little child to speak to your Father. That is what prayer is. Yeah, and your child might not have known exactly the right words. You know, when somebody bullied them at school and they came and they were crying at home and you say, what's wrong? And they get inside of you, they get in your lap, they put their arms around you and they're sobbing because it's too big, it's too hard. Daddy, I don't want to go back to school tomorrow. Yeah. And it wasn't so much the words they said. They didn't have to frame their sentences in some, you know, really polished up way. No, they were saying something from their heart. They were speaking from their heart, what was on their heart. And friends, that's what prayer is. You're going and pouring out your heart before God. You're speaking from your heart, not from your mind. The speaking from your mind never gets anywhere. But it's when your heart, when your soul gets into prayer, when you come before the Lord and you're just speaking to him exactly what's inside him, you're approaching him the right way and you're speaking heart to heart with God. That is what prayer is all around. And that's why he says, in that song, Sweet Hour Prayer, says, with such, I hasten to the place. And he says, I quickly go to pray. You know, I've got problems. I've got burdens. I need answers. I need him. So I hasten to the place where God, my Savior, shows his face. And I gladly take my station there and wait for thee, Sweet Hour Prayer. Yeah, that's why... When you know, and there's many Christians, I'm so glad, many believers who know exactly what I'm speaking about today. And once you've tasted of this and you know what I'm speaking about, prayer is never a burden. It's only when you get away from God that it becomes a burden. When you get in the flesh, but you're a genuine believer, you have to pray. Now, this world is too much pressure. There's too much anxiety. There's too much uncertainty. There's too much evil. There's too much pressure. That there's too much perplexity and confusion all around you. We're just sheep. We're just little children. That's what we are going through life. There's too many decisions we need to make that we can get wrong. And, you know, there's too many things we can say to people that we'll regret and so forth. You know, and there's too many decisions in the family, decisions in our jobs, decisions about our futures. And for us, because we just feel it inside of ourselves. It's just that deep. Inside of us, there's just that instinct that is inside of us to know that I don't want to make this decision by myself. I need to go and speak to Papa about this. I need to go and speak to Daddy because he knows the right way for this to be done. He knows, he'll tell me what it is because he always has the answer. And he's never let me down. And that's what you find out with the relationship with God as your Father. Yeah. Me, when I don't spend time in the presence of God for a few days, I just lose my bearings in this life, truly. When I don't have fellowship with God, I'm just a nobody in this life. I just don't know what to do. I just get so thirsty inside of my soul. I just get so unsettled. I just get so miserable inside of myself because I need to hear from Daddy again. You know, I need to hear from my Father once again. I need him to minister to me in that secret place. I need him to, he knows my wants, he knows my needs, he knows my feelings. I just need, like the song says, the scripture says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I just need to find this refuge. I just need to get inside of this secret place. And friends, that is what prayer is about. So you can tell the writer of this song that he really experienced the real benefits, the sweetness of prayer. You can tell if you get the song yourself, just search for the lyrics on the internet, Sweet Hour of Prayer. It is a sweet song. We sing it. And this, you know, when you read the words or you listen to that song, you meditate upon just the words that he's saying as a believer, there's spiritual resonance. Your soul resonates and says, absolutely, I know what this man is saying. This man didn't just write the song from his head. He wrote the song from experience because no man, no person can know these things without experience, without experiencing them. And that is a great thing that we would desire once people come to the Lord, is if they could come to understand and know the secret of prayer, which is to get yourself into your closet, get yourself into the secret place. And you pray unto your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which is in secret, Jesus says, shall reward you openly. Yeah. And you'll gladly, then when it comes time for prayer, you're not struggling, say, I don't really feel like praying. No, but you know what prayer is. You know the sweetness of prayer. It indeed is a sweet hour of prayer when you've tasted of what prayer really is. You gladly take your station there and you wait for the sweet hour of prayer. Now, Jesus says, Matthew 6, look at this, what he says once again. He's pointing us to these two things, which are like our subtitle. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, so when you pray, whenever you pray, enter into thy closet. That's the first thing. There's a place, a secret place. Enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So there's two things Jesus is pointing us to. And this very first lesson on prayer, he has the master teacher teaching us in the school of prayer. He's showing us the place we need to be in prayer. And he's showing us who we can expect to meet us there in prayer. And friends, whenever you approach prayer this way, you'll always meet him. You'll never be disappointed if you approach the Lord this way in prayer. If you really understand what prayer is, understand the simplicity as a child of this approach to God, you will never be disappointed in prayer. You will experience the potential of prayer. And it's unlimited how deep you can go, how far God can lead you in the school of prayer. But you will taste it for yourself. And that's why we said it's the secret place, your closet. And the Father's face, those are the things that we're wanting in prayer. Yeah, and one is dependent on the other. Now, to find your Father's face, he's in secret, he's the Spirit. You're going to have to get yourself in your closet. You're going to have to get yourself in the secret place. Because when you're busy and your mind is busy and you've been, you know, busy with activities of life, you're not in any condition to fellowship with him that is the Spirit. Not in any position. You need to come into the secret place. So Jesus is saying we need to come into this secret place so that we can meet our Father. So Jesus is really showing us. And friends, the main attraction in prayer, Jesus has shown us there, is the Father, is the presence of God. I mean, that is the attraction of prayer. And that is why people lose, you know, the desire to pray, because they've never experienced the presence of God, that they can themselves come into the presence. Their soul can come. God can reveal himself in a real way as your Father in prayer. God can come and meet you, yourself. Now, we make prayer just a form, and we make prayer just something that sometimes we rush through. Yeah, prayer can be a burden. But if you understand this and experience this, friends, prayer will never be a burden. Your flesh may be burdened, but your soul will always want to hasten to that place where God, your Savior, shows his face. Because, you know, we will see it as we get along. So when you're getting into this place now, the secret place in the Father's face, just think of the seven redemptive names of Jehovah. These are the attributes of God, friends. These are the ways God wants to reveal himself to us, and that we can relate to him and experience from him. Yeah, look at Jehovah Shammah. That means the Lord who is there. His never failing presence. Now you come genuinely sincere as a child in prayer, and you wait upon the Lord in prayer. Shut yourself and come into the closet, and you're going to find Jehovah Shammah. You're going to find the Lord is always there. He's always there. His never failing presence, he says, will be with you all the days of your life. Friends, God's presence never leaves us, but as we move out of that dimension ourselves, we get into the dimension of the flesh, the dimension of the mind, the dimension of this world, and we lose the consciousness of his presence, but he's always there. He's just waiting for us to shut ourselves in the closet, shut the door behind us, come to that place, wait upon the Lord, and you will find him every single time. As long as you don't have sin between you and him, you're going to find him that he's ever present. He's the ever-present water from the rock. He's Jehovah Shammah. He's the Lord who's there. His presence is always there. And you can experience that presence. What about Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Rohi? The Lord is my shepherd. Friends, when you need leadership and you need guidance and you don't know where to go and you're seeking for still waters and you're seeking for green pastures, you're seeking for protection, you know, from the wolves of this world, from the devil, the roaring lion, whatever that it is, you can come into a secret place and you can experience him as Jehovah, the Lord, your shepherd. His guidance, his rod and his staff, they'll come to you. And even if you come to the valley of the shadow of death, to the simplicity of just entering into that secret place, you can find that I'm with you. And your rod, the Lord says, I'm with you. My rod and my staff, they'll comfort you all the days of your life. What a wonderful thing that it is, friends. What about the blue one, Jehovah Shalom? That's Jehovah who is our peace. The Lord is your peace. Paul says we can experience, we have through Christ a peace that passes understanding. You know, we get so anxious in this world. It's a complex age. There's pressures of life. And what brings pressure? What brings anxiety in life, as we've said many times, is when the demands outstrip the supply. No, when the bills are greater than the amount coming in. No, there's a shortfall, and that shortfall equals pressure. It equals anxiety. Because how am I going to bridge the gap now? And that can be in a physical sense or a spiritual. You know, maybe you feel the needs of your job, the needs of your calling, the needs of what you're doing in life. You just feel the demands are too great for my resources. That brings pressure. That brings stress. That brings you to having an anxious spirit like he sings in the song. And friends, but when you come now into the presence of Jehovah Shalom, when you come into your secret place and you come and you speak to your Father now, then his peace settles down. That place where you just shut in with him, everything just comes back to peace once again. Your soul just settles once again. You just know that all is well. All is well. And each of these redemptive names, you can take them, Jehovah Jireh, whatever your need is spiritually and whatever your need is financially, whatever your need is, you know, emotionally in your whatever need is in your body, your soul, or your spirit, or your circumstances, you come to him and you can now make your wants and your wishes known and speak to your Father in secret. And he who you speak into in secret will answer you, will reward you openly. You're coming and speaking to daddy about this, to papa about this, to he that is greater than you, to the one who can handle these things when you feel, I just can't handle this anymore. That's what it all is about. And that's why Jesus, in all of this, the most blessed thing that he shows us, yeah, is he shows us there's a place, there's a closet we can come to, and you can meet God there. And friends, this closet has no attraction without the presence of God, and you know that. Now, when you're in sin and you try to pray and the skies are like brass, that's why it says a sinning man stops praying. You know, you stop praying because prayer, without the reality, without the presence of God, it's, I mean, who wants to spend a lot of time? You don't want to just be saying Hail Marys and Our Fathers and repeating vain repetitions like Jesus says we don't want to be doing. But when there's nothing between your soul and your Savior, when you put your sins under the blood, when you've come as a child and you've submitted yourself and you're yielding yourself to him, you have every right to expect, on the basis of his promise, to meet him every time you pray. And you should and can meet him every time you approach him the right way, because he's given us the promise that in the closet we can seek our Father who dwells in secret, and you'll find him and he will reward you every single time you come to him the right way. And a soul who's tasted of this even once, that soul all will be well, because they know the way. Once a person's found their way within the veil to the mercy seat once and tasted of the reality of God in prayer, you can put them in the belly of a fish. You can put them in a lion's den. You can put them on Patmos. It doesn't matter where they are. They found the way. They know the secret. It's been revealed to them. They can come within the closet wheresoever they are. And that's how you can't keep a saint from their prey. You know, like Jonah in the belly of the fish. I mean, he might be disoriented for a bit, But after a while, he knows where salvation is. He knows where deliverance is. When his circumstances are too great and he doesn't have the answer anymore, and he's messed everything up, he knows there's a place he can go to. And he set his face towards Jerusalem, the best that he knew, and the whale's belly, the way how it was under that covenant. And he set his face to seek the Lord. And that was the turning point. What about the prodigal son? You think of the prodigal son, all the mess that he made and all the waste that he had and the time that he wasted. What did he say? If I can just get back to daddy, if I can just arise and come back to my father, if I can just get, if he'll just embrace me again, I know that all will be well. All my poverty, all of my wounds, all of my emotional baggage that I'm carrying, all of my disappointments, all of my self-condemnation, my guilt, my disappointment, all my frustrations. I just need to arise and go to my Father. That's all that I need. That is the answer, friends. And that is the answer to every single one of us today. You just need to arise and come as a little child and you come back to your Father. And you speak to him that is in secret. That is what prayer is about. That is what Jesus is speaking to us here about prayer. Now the song says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care. It's calling you, you know, the Lord there, him within the veil, him in the secret place is calling you to say, Tony, No, come and speak to me about it. Come and cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you, the Bible says. Now he's calling, there's a call. The deep in him is calling to that yearning, the deep inside of you, that anxiety inside of you, that desire for something real and strong and steadfast and sure. It's calling you, but he has to call you from the world of care. So we need a closet. We need to come and shut the door. When we're in the world of care and it's all confusion and it's noise and it's hustle and bustle and strife and our minds are busy and our hearts are all overcharged with this and that, like the Bible says, you can never hear the voice of your Father. You will never realize his presence when you're in that sort of a condition. That's why he needs to call you out of the world of care. And he bids you, see, sweet hour of prayer, bids you at my Father's throne to make all my wants and wishes known. Ah, friends, what a blessed thing it is that you can go to somebody who's never going to condemn you, never going to laugh at you and say, ah, that's a foolish thing. No, he's going to come and say, just get in my lap once again, child. He's going to embrace you like it was, spiritually speaking, the way that you were when you were 3-4 years old as a toddler and you fell and you scratched your knee and it was sore and you came in and daddy just took you in his arms and he put you on his lap and he caressed you once again. And then you just stop the crying and you stop the sobbing and then you just lay against his bosom and all was well. And you just felt, if I can just stay here forever, because where I am now, everything makes sense. I just feel so loved. I just feel so welcome. This is what life should be. And friends, then we come out of that and we grow up and we go through our adolescence and we get independent and we think we don't need anybody. And then we get into life and you're making all these decisions. Yet there's this something inside of us all the time, which is yearning for that. We're longing for that to say, but hey, I just want that security. I just want that unconditional love. I just want that acceptance once again. I just want that place that I can go when this world is too difficult for me. I just want that place that I can go to when I just don't understand and I'm just too disappointed. I just want that place that I can go to when I just can't make things balance. I just can't make things make sense. Surely there's got to be a place. And Satan preys on that. And he sends people to monasteries. And he sends people to bathe in the Ganges. And he says, no, you just keep the 5 pillars of Islam. And you can't know Muhammad as in a personal way, friends. The God who made us wants to know us in a personal way. And we inside of our souls, we want to know God in a personal way. And it's through prayer. This is the secret. Obviously, it feeds onto his word, because once you have a sweet time in the closet, You're not going to want to get in the word because you've now spoken to him and you've been in his presence and he's ministered to you, but now you want him to speak to you. And he'll speak to you even in the closet of scriptures. He'll speak to you of things that as soon as you leave that place, you'll go and find your Bible and you'll say, but the Lord showed me this and the Lord told me this. Or he laid people on your heart. You lay different things inside of your heart while you're in prayer. And if you just follow those things through, every time you come, something good happens. Every time you come into that place and follow it through, something good's going to take place. So we called from this world of care, and it bids me at my Father's throne to make all my wants and wishes known. You know what Jesus is showing here? Your soul feels it and mine is that on a regular basis you feel, I just put it in my notes, that I must meet my Father. I must commune with him. I must talk it over with him. I just know inside of myself, I must. And more so at certain junctions than at other times. You know, when there's those pressing things. Friends, we must. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Yeah, let him come and speak to the Lord about it, your affliction, your trouble, whatever you're going through. Speak to him about it. I mean, that's the greatest thing that you can do, is bow your head, open your heart and speak to him that dwells in secret, and he will reward you openly. That's why the second thing, the Father's face, is the thing that we need, but we find it in the secret place, in the closet. And these are the two things. That's why Jesus stresses these things, to meet him, to see him face to face, spiritually speaking. We have to come, according to Jesus, to this place, into the closet, and pray to your enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door. So, friend, Jesus is really showing us what is the enemy to coming into the reality, into the presence of him who dwells in secret, is what's outside of the door, outside of your closet. You spend a lot of time outside of there. Yeah. It's confusing. It's disappointing. It wears you down. It tires you out. But you need to come in now. You need to enter into this closet. Now, what is your closet? The closet, strictly speaking, that Bible word there means the spare room they'd have in the Orient. That was a room, like a spare room where you could go and spend time in private. No one else would come in. It's a place that you go where you shut out the world. You separate yourself from the distractions. Whatever, wherever that place is, might be in the woods, might be in your car, might be kneeling by your chair in a spare room. You know, might be getting up in the middle of the night and going down into to the lounge and spending time with the Lord when others. Every one of us has to find our own closet. Where is that? The closet may change from place to place, but the closet is not just so much the physical part. There is an important part Jesus is teaching us. There's got to be a physical something. We've got to make a conscious decision that I want to speak to the Lord. So I'm separating myself from these distractions now. I'm separating myself from other people now. I'm going to speak to my Father. I'm going to shut the door. Enter my closet. I'm going to shut the door. That's a decision that you've made. That's a step. That's a separation. No, you've closed certain things out. That's what the closet is speaking of. Because why? Because the Father, he tells us, is in secret. So we need to come to that secret place to meet him. God is hidden from the world. God is hidden from the carnality and the, you know, the natural man and your carnal mind and your carnal flesh. God doesn't declare himself to that. God declares himself to the soul. So we need to come beyond the world, come away from the world, come away from the things that are confusing our minds and you know, raising our passions and stuff. And it's going to take a bit of time. When you close that door physically, it's going to take a little bit of time spiritually for us to wait upon the Lord, for us to close the door spiritually, to get those things shut out and dim and not declaring themselves to us spiritually. So we need to come into our closet and wait upon the Lord. Shut the door. Let what's out there be left out there. Because we've come to him that's the main attraction. We've come to him that is the heart and core, the heart of worship. We've come to seek our Father's face. We've come now to speak to him that is in secret, to commune with him. So we need to withdraw ourselves. withdraw from the world and all these other kind of things. And we need to prepare ourselves then. I need to wait upon the Lord now. That's why anybody who knows what really, really prayer is about, you know that 5-minute prayers, 10-minute prayers, they're good. Those are the kinds of prayers that just keep you going. But to really have fellowship with God, to really get into that place, you need to set aside some time. We're calling it a sweet hour of prayer. And many times that first 30 minutes of that time in there, it's not real prayer because you haven't yet shut the world out. You know, your mind is still full of the world and you're there's so many other things running through and you're so distracted still by the things that you brought into the closet from the world that it takes time to wait upon the Lord. And that's why worship is such an important thing, especially prayer meetings, worship, where the worship can be ministering you into the closet. Then if the word comes, a word in season in a prayer meeting that encourages you to seek your Father's face, like the cherubim, which are coming to anoint you and encourage you to come to the tree of life. Now, scriptures on prayer and scriptures of faith and promises of God and you know, all those things, when you focus on those things, it's like you're bringing people so they can shut the door behind them and they can come into the closet. Then you start entering into that place where your soul now starts to become active. Your heart now starts to speak. Your soul starts becoming sensitive to the presence of God, and he makes himself real. Now, you might pray loud, you might pray quiet, however you want to pray. That's not what it's not the physical loudness or the audible voice. You can pray, you can shout, you can cry, whatever that it is. But as long as your heart is coming to that place, that it's surrendered and yielded, you know, and the things of the world have become strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. That is what really the approach to prayer should be. And if you've been away from the Lord for a while, it's going to take some time in your closet to really get into your closet, to get into that secret place when you're in your closet, to meet him that is in secret. It takes time. I've given the example many times when you find the storm on the sea and how, you know, you go like down from us here, you can go down to Newcastle and there's, you know, the big breakers, they come and they bash right up onto the promenade there and stuff. Yeah, and I mean, when the storm passes, still the next day, the waves are bashing. You know, it takes a few days for those waves to gradually settle down and the sea to become still, even though the storm has passed. And when you've been out there in the world and the storm and the temptations and the assault of the devil and mean things have been said or, you know, other things have been done to you and it's in your mind, it's in your spirit, your emotions, and you come, even when you get into your presence, it's going to take time for the storm. Though the storm might have passed, you might have shut it physically out there, but it takes time for those waves, you know, the tossing of your mind and that to settle down. And then you can come now into his presence now. You know, now you are shut in with God in the secret place. And that is what prayer is really about. This is the place where he really reveals himself to us. That's why David knew about it when he said, "Be still and know that I'm God." For you to really know that he's God. I'm not saying you must be quiet in your prayer. That's not what he's saying. But you must be still in your heart, still in your soul, sensitive and yielded, coming as a child, casting off those things. You know, everything that exalts itself above the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, taking every thought captive, Paul said. And anything that exalts itself above the knowledge of Christ, sometimes it takes a lot of sweating and toil in prayer to really get yourself to that place that you're still. And at the beginning of your prayer, you might have been shouting and sweating and blasting the devil and, you know, breaking through the powers and principalities that have held you down. But once you really get yourself spiritually to the secret place, you might be whispering in prayer. You might be saying no words, but you're in the sweetest and deepest of prayer. And that's the place where you make real prayer. And that's the place where he makes himself known. Where God, my Savior, shows his face is when you get to that place. That secret place in the closet. And anybody who's been there, you know what I'm speaking about. And I know I'm glad there's so many saints here that do. And if you don't know, saints, this is a real place. You really need to start, like we said, start each day. Brian Elliott's been doing a good series there on waiting on God for the Sunday school. You need to wait upon God and let him start to make himself real to you in prayer. And you will start to love the sweet hour of prayer just as much as this man who wrote the song. Let's bring it to a close. He says, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. Saints, it's so much easier to separate ourselves physically from things than it is to separate ourselves spiritually from things. And sometimes you'll be in prayer and your mind is just on this and you're tossing and you've got to cast that thing onto the Lord and say, Lord, you need to help me here because I'm tossed about inside of myself. But you need to wait upon the Lord. You need to persevere in prayer until you come into that secret place. It's such an important thing, that spiritual, getting yourself into that condition, that sweet hour of prayer. And what is the secret? You've got to like forsake the world, forsake those things. Make that decision. I'm not listening to these things anymore. You've got to like just shut it out and surrender yourself. And saying, Jesus, lead me, take me by the hand, come spiritually and usher me, bring me into the secret of the presence of God. You need him too. And then you find that his presence, his reality starts to dawn upon you, the reality of the presence of God and how sweet that it is. And now we were at the brazen, the golden altar last time, but this shutting ourselves in the closet, the physical going to a place and shutting the door behind us, whatever that place is to you, whichever room it is, wherever you go, that physical place symbolizes something. It symbolizes you've shut yourself from the world and you're wanting now to come into this secret place here that we show you. Now that's the real, real place. That's a type. Our physical separation, the physical going in the closet, the physical closing of the, it's important. We must get away from the distractions. But that's just a type. It's a help to help us to come into the real secret place, into the real closet, which is the spiritual dimension, the spirit of prayer that God takes us into if you approach it the right way. And that's where now we get into that place by the mercy seat. And Jesus is there. His presence is there. You know, it's you and him. And you're speaking to him. You're speaking to your Father who's in secret. And you know, he ministers his attributes to you in his presence. Because he promised to meet us there. Covenant promises of his word. So many of them in the Bible that he promises to meet us there. And friends, the Father waits to meet us there. He waits, he longs, he wants to have that communion and that fellowship. So in this first lesson, as we look in like the real lesson here, what Jesus is teaching us, his first teaching on prayer in the school of prayer, he's showing us where to go. And he's showing us how to get in there, to shut ourselves in, get yourself into that secret place. And you'll find out whenever you do that, he's waiting for you there. He's always been there waiting for you, just waiting for you to lay it aside and to come and to lay it before him. And saints, this is the place, the secret place of the Most High, this closet prayer. This is the place, this is the condition where you start to experience true prayer, what it really is, and the benefits of prayer. And it's untold. There's still great untapped resources that we've never yet tapped into in that closet. And anybody here, I know a lot of people I can see are really prayerful people. But friends, he's waiting for us there. He wants to meet you. I know Brother Rami loves that song and he says it many times, don't forget the family prayer. Or you could say, don't forget the morning prayer. Don't forget the evening prayer. Jesus wants to meet you there. And that's what it must be, saints. And the soul of a believer, if you haven't been in that place for a couple of days, you start feeling it inside of yourself. You just start feeling it. You dry in your soul. I just need his presence. I just need to speak to my Father once again. And then Jesus finishes off and he says in green at the bottom, he says, when you pray to your Father, which is in secret, your Father would see you in secret, shall, that's a promise, reward you openly. So the thing is, you're asking in secret, you're going to see he's going to manifest them openly. He's going to reward you openly. And what does he say in Hebrews 11, 6? God, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And friends, sometimes people have got disappointed in prayer because they weren't diligent enough. They never just waited a little bit extra, to move beyond the veil of flesh, to move beyond this dimension, these natural senses, our human fallen senses, and to allow your soul to wait on, to be still and know that he's got in. You never get yourself to that place to really experience what that place is. But if you do experience it, saints, you're going to say, just like that man who wrote that song, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. How my anxious spirit yearns with strong desire for your return. And I'll gladly take my station there and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. So friends, he's calling us to the place of prayer. And that's where he'll sanctify you. That's where he'll cleanse you. That's where he'll feed you. That's where he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost. That's where he'll strengthen you and quicken you. And everything that we need, we find it when you come to that secret place of prayer. Let's bow our heads and close off, saints. Father, I do pray once again upon this day for every single person under the sound of my voice now, who doesn't know and hasn't experienced really what I'm speaking about, or hasn't experienced it for a long time, that, Lord, you would lead them yourself back unto that secret place, Lord, that place of wonder, that place of satisfaction, that place where the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, that you'd lead them to yourself, that you'd encourage them, that you'd help them to return once again to that place where you wait for each of us, Lord. Father, just pray you'll take just this which has been spoken, divide it, Lord, as you took the bread and the loaves, and Lord, minister to the needs of your people upon this evening, we pray. Bless our fellowship now, bless the remainder of this Bible study in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, saints. Any feedback there, saints? Any questions, any thoughts? Thanks very much to the saints who put Tony said they can we sing that song. Yeah, we really do need to sing that song. That's a beautiful song for prayer meeting, saints. I mean, but it's got to be people in the right atmosphere. Then you sing that song, sweet hour of prayer. Yeah, when people are not in the spirit of prayer, that song drags. You know, it's like, oh, people are saying this is boring. Let's get on to a faster song. But when you're in the spirit of prayer, when you're just longing and your soul is longing, Lord, I just need to come into your presence. It's a wonderful song to usher people, to prepare people spiritually, to come into that place of prayer. So may the Lord bless. Anything anybody wants to say this, any questions? The Zimas, do you want to say anything? I can see it went on to you for some reason. Brother Vlad, anything you wanted to say?
God bless you.
God bless you.
Brother, it's so sweet just to enjoy in presence of just this topic.
Amen.
And it's so real and it's so truth just to get there. But we experience something, but there are much more deeper experience with the Lord.
That's true, brother. And I think what it is, Brother Vlad, is we do lose that childlike simplicity. You see, we become complicated so easily as human beings. Yeah, and Jesus, he came then, he says, unless you become like a little child. I see your little guy there sitting with Sister Lydia. I mean, he's so trusting. I mean, he just comes and sits in daddy's lap. If you tell him, that there's a Santa Claus, he'll believe you. Like people tell their children, if you tell him that the moon is made of cheese, he's going to believe you. And there's just something inside of children to believe their parents, to believe their father. It's just in them to do that. Because there's been a relationship. You've shown love. You've shown care. You've been there. And that is the relationship the Lord wants with us in a deeper way. So God bless you, brother. God bless. Anybody else there, saints? What, just people just saying, ouch.
I remember, God bless you, Brother Andrew.
Brother Tony, God bless.
I remember one day we were, it was yourself, myself, George, and I forgot who it was. When we were still staying up in town then, just up near the Dublin Castle.
Yeah.
And we sat down and yeah, all of us were gathered there. And you said, and I was waiting and anticipating on this job. And you said to me, "Brother, did you pray?" And I said, "Let me go into that room." And I went into that the room, the next door room there,
yeah.
And where you were sleeping. And I went in there on my own. And I remember I prayed a wonderful prayer. And within 30 minutes, if you can remember,
yes.
I was called straight away for that nice job in Hewlett Packard.
Yeah,
it shows how important it is, you know, like, if you really take that thing, if you really take prayer seriously,
that's
and
true.
The Lord can react within the next minute, your answer can come back in, you know.
Absolutely.
The Lord is, you know, is real. He's a marvelous God, you know. There's no other like him, man. You know?
That's true. Yeah. And the thing is, bro, we sometimes forsake our own mercies. You know, we don't tap yeah. into the greatest resource that there is, which is to come into the presence of God. I mean, hey, mm-hmm. it's strange that us as fallen human beings, so often, like with Jacob, when he was there at the Brook Peniel, like to really bring ourselves and cast everything on the Lord. Many times it's a last resort. And we'll try everything ourselves first. We try to do this. You're going to read the life of Jacob before he really met the Lord. You know, when he met the Lord and his name was changed. He tried every way to fix his own problems, make his own solutions. And the Lord put him in a situation now that he couldn't get himself out of. And then he finally, for the first time, really came to that secret place. And he laid hold on the reality of God, and he wouldn't let the Lord go until he blessed him. And he prevailed with God. And first he prevailed with God, then the next day he prevailed with man. He prevailed with Esau. And that's the real, real secret. But there's something about us, I don't know what it is. We're like Adam and Eve. We hide away from God in the garden. We want to make our fig leaves and make our own solution. And then when you go now and you get into the presence of God and you speak about it, you feel so foolish to say, why didn't I do this as the first resort? Why did I leave it to the last resort? Why did I have to go through all the pain and put other people through all this other confusion? I should have come to him first. You know, and I think that is to walk with God like Enoch. I mean, that's the kind of life, a childlike simplicity that you realize I need him. And you look at the prayer life of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, he was so prayerful, always prayerful. Yet he was God as a man, you know, sinless. Yet in order to stay in fellowship with the Father that was in him, he had to stay in prayer. So he had to make the right choices. So he had to get the quickening power, you know, the overcoming that he needed to overcome the trials, the temptations, to know what it is that he needed to do. So, you know, I think sometimes we try to substitute many other things for prayer. Whereas if that can be your first resort, not the last resort, you will have a far more precious life. And people around you will have a far less confusing time trying to understand what you're about, you know. Anybody else there before we finish off?
Brother Andrew.
Brother George.
I like what you said there about, you said prayer shows me. I was just putting my notes here. Prayer shows me I'm a baby in Christ.
Yeah.
Then I put a note here. I said, I go on my knees, a big, proud show off. I come off humbled as a baby in Christ.
That's true. Absolutely.
When you get into that presence,
yeah.
You know, you humbled. I mean, it's in that presence that the rod budded. It's in that presence that many great things happen.
But
I think it was Isaiah said, woe is me.
That's it, bro. Absolutely, bro. And you know what it is, bro, George? It's that one there, that story, you know, about the minister who, he said, I'm going to show these people I can preach. You know, the one that went up proud with his chest stuck out and he got in the pulpit and, hey, it was tough. And he came with his head stooped down and, you know, really humbled. And the old saint said, if he had gone up the way that he came down, he would have come down the way that he went up, you know. And that's it. He who humbles himself will be exalted. And when you come into the presence of God, but our souls know that, right, George? Our souls know that we are but lambs, that we are but children. Yeah, our souls know that we don't know the way. Imagine, Jesus likens us to sheep. Sheep are the dumbest animals about just about anything. You just look at a picture of a sheep. Even the way sheep look at you, you can really tell there's no. And spiritually speaking, Jesus is saying we are sheep. We absolutely cannot lead ourselves. We'll absolutely eat the wrong things, go to the wrong places, meet the wrong things, and that'll be the end of us if it's not for the shepherd. And yeah, I think the greatest thing that you can do as a Christian is keep, you know, that reliance on God. If you remember, you know, to speak it, you've heard it several times, and I speak about how David, why the Lord led him in that way and sent him into the wilderness for those 13 years, you know, from 17 up to 30 when he was anointed as king. All those years, and he was wondering where his food was going to come for. And then Saul's trying to kill him, one step between him and death. And he's in caves and forests and going from place to place. It was the Lord was teaching David reliance on him. And that's one of the greatest lessons we can learn from the Lord, is he puts us in situations so that we learn reliance on him. That's why even when David gets in the palace now, he's still a man after God's own heart. You know, yes, he made his mistakes, but he still had a heart for God, because all those years he had tasted each day of, you know, how sweet it was to follow the Lord's leadership and how much the Lord ministered to him. And so even though he got into the palace now, he still hungered and thirsted for that same fellowship, that same walk with God that he had. So that reliance upon God, it's a wonderful thing. We should be so, the longer we go, the more reliant we should be on him, if the Lord would help us. Anyone else?
Just one last thing, Pastor, yeah. Sorry. I was speaking today with one brother in Cape Town, and we're just speaking about, you know, if someone came and found you praying, we're speaking of that one you always mention of, Hudson Taylor.
Yeah.
And we were just speaking of how, you know, if you just walked around and started talking to yourself, people will say, hey, get next to yourself. What's going on? If people found you praying, it's like an insane thing.
Yeah.
Because you're praying to something you can't see, you know? But we've, you know that, oh, taste and see. That's what we're speaking about today, that the Lord is good. We've tasted that. We know that it's there. We've experienced that, and it's in my heart. So we're just speaking of that. And when you were speaking, this was very, very sweet, you know, that we're talking of, like you were saying there, like until you've gone in there and you've experienced that thing, you know, you can have many times you go into prayer with a group of people and another person will say, that was a whole lot of rubbish. We prayed all night, but there was nothing there. But other people will go and say, man, that was serious what happened, you know? So it's just going into that presence, like you said, and if just yielding, and if you could experience that, like you said as well.
Yeah, that's the key, man.
It's too wonderful to speak.
No, once like that lady in the Good Shepherd, in the mental home there, yeah, and she had all her problems and that. And when Brother Ram started to pray with her and said, sister, surely you don't want to be in a place like this. And she said, no, I don't want to be here. And he said, well, you can pray now. Let's pray to the Lord. And then she prayed and got all emotional. Then she got up and said, no, I think I'll be okay now. And he said, no, get down on your knees again. Then they continued to pray. Then she got up again after being all emotional. She says, no, just keep praying. Then she got to a certain place in prayer. Now she came within the closet now. Now she came to him that is in secret, and she could feel it in her soul. And that time she got really into another place of prayer. She stood up and she said to Brother Branham, something's different this time. And he said, now you'll be all right, sister. And they released her later that week. But the key to it is when a person experiences, like I said, tastes of the Lord, just takes Jesus at his word and puts, you know, goes and waits upon the Lord with a sincere, hungry heart, and you experience the goodness of God within the closet, you fellowship with your Father, you'll be all right for the rest of your life. You know how to go. And when the doctor gives you the bad diagnosis, you know where to go. Now, when there's not enough money in the bank, you know where to go. You see, you found the way to speak to your Father. You found the secret place of the Most High. And it's so simple, but it's so profound. You know, it doesn't seem deep, but it's so deep. And when you experience, you know how deep it is, because you're dealing with God. You're dealing with eternal things. You're dealing with him who dwells in eternity and he's condescended down to meet you in your secret place. It's a wonderful thing. One more saint, Stephen, is God. Otherwise, we can maybe finish off there. Sorry. Yes.
Yeah, God bless you.
God bless you, Brother Clayton. God bless, brother.
Yes. I just wanted to put a question.
Yes, brother.
Yes, I wanted to ask if maybe fasting will help someone maybe who might be struggling to pray.
Amen.
Because I was just thinking around, there was a time where Jesus referred to some certain demons being difficult to be cast out without prayer and fasting.
Amen.
And also the prophet would actually spend time also fasting together with prayer.
Absolutely.
Does that have to help sometimes to fast when you are trying to maybe break through in Amen. Prayer?
Absolutely, but it's a very good question, Brian. Thanks for that, Brian. It's true, because even if you continue on in your Matthew chapter 6, straight after the Lord teaches them to pray, when he says, when you pray, just go a few verses after. As soon as he finishes prayer, he says, when you fast. Yeah, when he says, when you fast, you know, it's similar. Don't let anybody know what you're doing, and your Father who sees you in secret. And the power of fasting is, like we say, sometimes you're struggling to get yourself spiritually to that place where the Lord can really commune with you. Now, your mind is too full. You've got too much baggage, yeah, which you're carrying into the closet. And by fasting, now, fasting being a symbol of humbling yourself, you know, you're laying aside food, you're laying aside. And the important part of fasting is not just so much the laying aside of food, which is important, but it's laying aside the normal things you would do. You know, the internet and, you know, the social media and stuff. You know, you've said, I need to hear from God. So I need to just totally close my door behind me. I don't need any distractions. And at the time when I should be eating, like if you're fasting, if you're at work, you spend that time in prayer. You spend that time in the Word. And when you come back, you shut yourself in your secret place. You're spending time in prayer. So fasting, it like quickens you into the closet when you do it the right way. It brings you quicker. If you're struggling to get to that place of really, really submission and yieldedness and, you know, to become soft and sweet before the Lord, because there's too much carnality that you've picked up along the way. Absolutely, bro. Fasting is such a key to that, because fasting sharpens you spiritually. No, it's like it hastens you to that place where God reveals himself. And anybody who's, I mean, I really have seen that just inside of my own life. I've never really gone for very long periods of time where I found if you really set aside some time to seek the Lord, that you won't find him. He may not answer every prayer that you ask, but you'll really come into his presence. He'll really speak to you. He'll really reveal himself to you. And fasting is a very important ingredient of that. Yes. And like you're saying, Brad Clayton, when Jesus said this, some demons only go out by prayer and fasting. You know, sometimes your faith, it's not kicked into the right realm to prevail and overcome over that trial you're going through. So you fast, and God can quicken that faith by spending that, you know, you're coming before him in that greater way. He cannot quicken you in that greater way. And that something kicks in you, and you cast that thing out. So yes, brother, thanks. It's a very, very good one. I think, saints, that's really, really been helpful. Brother Barnabas there, God bless you, brother.
Pleasure. So I just want to ask a couple of questions, but I just want to attach you to the one that our brothers asked concerning the fasting. Some may ask, how do we fast?
Yeah.
How do we fast?
That's a good one, bro. That's a very good one. Now fasting, well, it's like praying. Some people, they need to build themselves into fasting. Some people, a full one-day fast, it's difficult for them. I mean, you know, some people are like that. Some people, a three-day fast, it's impossible for them at first. It's like prayer. If you say to somebody, let's go and pray all night, or let's go and pray in the woods for the whole day, it's too much for certain people. So you need to get yourself into it. So if you've never fasted before, you may decide just to, like the biblical fast, the Pharisees and them, or even the Jews used to fast twice a week, a Monday and a Thursday, up to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every week. The religious Jews, they would do that. Yeah, that wasn't a real powerful fast where you're really seeking the Lord, but that was a fast. You're skipping a couple of meals, spending time with the Lord to keep you spiritually sensitive before the Lord. But when you get the burden upon you, when you feel inside of yourself, I need to really seek the Lord seriously about this thing, then you now say, how long are you going to fast for? It depends how long the Lord leads you to. It could be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. You know, whoever knows, Jesus fasted 40 days. You know, we know that he went that far. But some people, the way they do it, if it's a 3 day fast, you can go the first day without food or drink. Second day, depending on how you made, some people will be weakening by the second day. You may just want to drink some water, you know. Third day, you want to make sure you have enough time, enough strength to pray. You want to make sure that you got enough strength to read the word, because there's no point taking a fast and weaken yourself so much that you're just lying on your bed. I mean, what's the point of just lying on your bed? So, you know, depending on how you made, depending on how far you can go, some people can do 3 days, no food, no water, and dry fast, and they can do that. Some people can't do that. They can do 3 days without food, but maybe on the third day, they need to drink something with sugar in it, maybe some juice or some tea or something, just to give them the strength so they can continue to pray. So now you'll find out with yourself over time, you know, what you can handle in a fast. Yeah, but there's the different ways of fasting. Daniel in the Bible, he fasted 21 days eating no pleasant food. You know, so he went, he wanted to hear from God. One of the says, didn't let any, in those days, drinking wine. He didn't have anything pleasant to drink, didn't eat any meat. He just ate simple food. I mean, he's an 80-something-year-old man. So he eats simple food just to keep him going, but he's not anointing himself, not putting on his deodorants and that, and those are perfumes and that. You know, he was really, really humbling himself before the Lord. Now, so you find there's different ways of fasting in that kind of way. So as an individual, I mean, when I was in Pentecost, the pastor taught me. We did a Bible study on fasting, and he taught me and said, look, just start with 1 day. Yeah, start. Don't eat breakfast. Don't eat lunch. See how you get on until the evening. If you're doing well, push on through and eat the next day for breakfast. You do a 1 day fast. And once I tasted of that and you saw that this is really wonderful. When I was at university, I used to do it every Sunday. I wouldn't eat from Saturday night up to Monday morning. You know, you just, because that was a time you felt, look, I'm busy with my studies during the week. And then when there are other times you maybe do it, everyone's got their own length of fast they want to do. But at certain critical junctures, you take time off work, take time off school, whatever that it is. Well, I don't know about school, college, but you set aside time. You're going to shut yourself in with God. And like the Bible says, if you're fasting, now you let your wife know as well that you're fasting, because you're fasting in all aspects. So you just want to like separate yourself. You want to let your family know what you're doing in that sense so that they're not wondering what's going on here. So you're saying, I'm going to shut myself in with God. I'm humbling myself. I'm laying aside everything. I'm laying aside food, drink, whatever that it is that's necessary, because I really need to hear from God. And that's why fasting is that next step now. When you've prayed sincerely, you're needing a breakthrough. Now you come into fasting. So it could be a dry fast, no food, no water. It could be any length of time that the Lord leads you to fast, 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, plus whatever the Lord leads you to do. Or if you're not able to do it, it could be you drink water during your fast. That's still a fast. You're fasting from food. So it really does depend, brother, on how the Lord leads you to do it. And you learn as you go what is the most effective way. I sometimes fasted when I was young, and you go too long. And on the last day of the fast, you've made a vow to the Lord to fast for so long. And you find on the last day, you're just so weak. You can hardly do anything. And I don't think that's the aim of fasting. You're not trying to starve yourself. You know, you're trying to spend time with God. You're trying to separate yourself so you can spend time seeking his face. So you need to find that balance in your own life, and the Lord will lead you to do it. I don't know if that answers your question. Is that okay? Okay.
Thanks so much for
thank you, brother. God bless
you. I have another addition to that. I am not born as a Christian. I'm a Muslim. Yes. My dad is a Muslim. Uh-huh. So I find it difficult to eat. I went through a lot before I have the opportunity now. And it was Brother Judge that always helped me with the scripture. So I'm not into the message that way.
Understand. think we lost the bro. You froze there. Well, you froze there, bro. We can't hear, bro. No, it's the brother who froze. Well, when he comes back on, we can ask him. Otherwise, we can ask the brother to do it next time. Because I think the brother
Andrew. Yeah. That's brother, you messages sheep. You know that.
I know the one. Yes, bro, Barnabas. I know him, bro. Okay, well, while we wait for the brother, if he does come over, let's maybe close in a word of prayer. We just ask the Lord for his blessing. Because I don't think the brother's going to come back on there now. Yeah, let's pray. Father, we dedicate this night to thee now. We thank you for the time we've had. You are the great teacher. Teach us, Lord, to pray. Even as your disciples said, teach us to fast. Guide us in these things, Lord, the way that you would have us to do them. And bless all your people. We're so thankful to see Brother Pele there once again. Lord, may you quicken him and touch him. And even there where he is, Lord, lead him into that secret place, that he may just lay a hold of you for all that he needs. And Father, bless all your people gathered wheresoever they would be until we meet again in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly, saints. It was good to be with each and every one. May the Lord bless your evening. Sister Roseanne, everybody there, may the Lord bless you until we meet again. If you've got any questions, anything else you want to cover on prayer, please let me know. The Lord has tried to include it. But most of all, let's put it into practice. Learning by doing. Development in practice. That's really what we desire in these things. And may the Lord bless. God bless you, saints.
Thanks, Pastor Greg.
Thank you.
God bless everyone.
God bless you. Thank you. God bless you.
Bye.
Bye, South Africa.
God bless. God bless. God bless. Tomorrow, Brian Greg, you didn't get a chance to ask your question.